Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Welcome to Guns in the Evening with Owen and Matthew. This is episode 42 of Guns in the Evening. No matter what time of the day you're listening, it's Guns in the Evening with Owen and Matthew.
This is where I talk very quietly with a very high gain into my microphone, smoking a cigarette to lower my voice even that much further.
That's right.
Jazz music playing in the background. Some late night talk show.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, but you know.
Awesome.
This is Slamfire Radio, everybody. Just, you know, the people that are still listening and haven't gone, wait a minute, did I download the wrong thing? Yeah, and as you can tell, Trevor's not here.
Otherwise, we would have had an actual deep, sultry voice to speak into the microphone with.
Exactly.
But no, he's off. He's at the gun club, the SummerSlam registration thing. Yeah, they're having a SummerSlam registration party.
What a slacker.
Because you can't just mail in your form if you live local. You have to go to the party, eat wings, and drink beer. It's, you know, part of the requirements, I guess. I don't know.
I see.
So I'm sad that I live 2.5 hours away. Otherwise, I'd have been there too.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What are you going to do?
Nothing, apparently.
Apparently.
Well, we'll do something. We'll give him a hard time about it.
Oh, yes, we will. We should, we'll save that for later. What Trevor did this week in guns. we could start off with that. So yeah. This week, Trevor's, as many of you know who are on Facebook, and I think he talked about it last week, him, Mo Hepworth, and Pat Harrison have started a new podcast called Action Shooting Radio. And they recorded their first show last night. Well, I say recorded.
Yeah, except they didn't.
They didn't. Somebody forgot to press the record button, apparently. I don't know. So I can't make too much fun of them because I've done the same thing, but it's so still funny.
Well, I've never quite done that, but I did record a Warriors Ethos podcast once where I had a recording, but I messed up my mic, and every time I thought I was unmuting my mic to talk, I was actually muting it. So the entire show is these little blips where I was unmuting my mic to cough.
Yep, and just last week, listeners probably remember that I messed up the audio and we had to re-record the intro last week. So these sort of technical difficulties do happen. But it is a whole lot funnier when it happens to somebody else.
Yes.
So, Trevor, we do feel for you. We know where you're at. We're sorry, it's funny.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, that's what Trevor did this week in guns.
Yeah.
What did you do this week in guns?
How about last week as well, since you conveniently got to delete all of my last week's spiel?
Yeah, I sort of did, because you weren't available to re-record with us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can go on and tell us what you did last week, I guess.
All right. Well, as everyone probably remembers, I am working on a short AR build. And by working on it, I mean completed.
Nice. So, now, has the muzzle device arrived?
Muzzle device has not even been ordered. It's still not in stock.
Ah, that's too bad.
Yeah. I'm looking for a linear muzzle brake, and the one I want is, I think it's AWG Gunworks or something like that. And the shoulder one-shot tactical, I think, carries them.
Do you have like a regular birdcage flash hider to throw on there for now, just for fun? Oh, you have something on there anyway?
I've just been shooting it without it.
Oh, okay, I see. Well, I mean, you can do that. It's no big deal. I was just curious if, I wonder what it would even look like with the birdcage on there.
It would probably look fine, but it's still going to be pretty loud.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean,
muzzle blast.
Yeah, I mean, fireball. We had it at the range. When was it, last Saturday?
Sounds about right.
Saturday before. Two Saturdays ago. Anyway, it was like big fireballs and double plug kind of gun.
Nice.
But lots of fun. We're good. Had a couple little hang-ups with it. The second round of the second to last round of a couple magazines wouldn't feed. Failures to feed.
Oh, interesting.
So, but that was about it. I mean, I had heard so many, horror stories about short ARs and the short gas systems, pistol length gas systems, and issues with feeding and issue with cycling, but really didn't have much of an issue.
Good.
And yeah.
Locked back on the empty mag and all that good stuff.
Yep.
Interesting. Because see, when I had my 11.5-inch barrel on my AR, mags wouldn't lock open, or bolt wouldn't lock open on an empty mag. There was another problem. My trigger was biting me every time I pulled the trigger. It would reset so violently that my finger hurt.
Yep.
And I didn't do anything to rectify those two things. I just changed the barrel. I mean, Trevor had a new barrel that he needed to get rid of, so I put Trevor's old STI 16.5-inch barrel on mine, and those two problems went away.
I know.
The trigger doesn't bite anymore, and mags run flawlessly. Bolt locks open properly, everything. So I was curious if yours being so short, if you were going to run into some of those types of issues, but I guess not.
Yeah, no, I haven't had any issues with it that way.
That's cool.
I mean, we'll run it some more. I put about 60-ish rounds through it is all I put through it.
Amy put the rest through?
She shot it. She shot one mag through.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah. Oh. But
I thought this was her gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that never happens, does it?
It was cold out.
Oh, it was cold. Well, that's why you need to shoot it more. Warm up the muzzle and the barrel and warm your hands on it. Boy, I could do that with mine. Again, the old handguard was not ventilated. Hmm. And if I shot more than, 40 rounds in quick succession, it was hard for me to, without gloves on, keep my hand on the barrel because it was very close to the gas block. It heated up fast.
I didn't find this one heated up at all. Now
well,
it does have
open, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. But I still thought it might warm up a bit, but maybe it was just too cold that day that it kept the...
Well, it was quite cold that day.
It was a couple degrees below zero.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I did that. That was fun. Put the 22 conversion kit in it. Worked flawlessly.
Nice.
And, No, definitely if I can feel a little more kick. I think just because of the weight, it's a lot lighter than my other AR. Uh-huh. So that...
You shoot your AR a lot, so you may notice this, and maybe you won't. I don't know. Do you notice it cycling faster?
Because
it's such a short gas tube. I mean, that bolt is coming back so much quicker, like sooner. And I know it's only in like nanoseconds, but some people who shoot a lot of AR.
I would say it is. Yeah. I would. I mean, that was 2 weeks ago, but I would say it is. Yeah.
That's cool. I can't wait to play with that a little bit myself when I get down there next time.
Yeah, because you like...
If Amy lets me.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll ask her permission.
We'll ask her, see what she says.
What else did I do that day? I guess we shot a little bit of handgun and some 22, some 9mm. She still is out shooting me.
Good. So are you taking lessons from her then?
That's right.
She's like, no, Owen, your stance needs to be like this, and your grip needs to be, put your thumb forward. That's better.
I was shooting way to the left all of a sudden. Now, it was cold, so you know how your hands get kind of hard and slippery when it's cold?
Yep.
And I was shooting, first time I shot with gloves on, first mag, and I was like, I gotta take these gloves off. I can't hit anything with them on. So I took them off, but I still... because my hands were slippery, was shooting to the left. Yeah. Now, her groups were maybe about 6 inches top to bottom, but they were only about an inch and a half wide.
and centered?
And centered, right down the middle.
Yeah, so your gun's probably centered or sighted in probably just fine. It's just a matter of... Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. If my hands get cold, it's hard to shoot. I've considered like those rubber Hogue kind of grips, slip-on grips. The problem with those is you can't use those in IPSC. They're not allowed. Not in my division anyway, in production.
Yeah, because I'd be sticking grip tape all over mine.
You can put some. You got to put it on the sides. You can't put it on the front and back, I think.
That's where I need it. I don't need it on the handle. I need it like on the grip. I need it up where my thumb rests just below the slide. Because that's the part that as the recoil.
It jumps out of your hand.
Drives the gun up.
Yep.
My thumb slips off.
Yep.
And so then I have to reposition it when I come back down.
Yep. I do the same thing in the cold. See, people down in the South, our American listeners, are like, my hands get all sweaty and my gun's slippery, so I need grip tape and stippling and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, we have the same problem up here in Canada, but it's just cold. It's not sweat.
Yeah.
My hands are just so bloody cold that everything's so slippery, nothing can't get any traction on it.
Yeah. Yep. And I ordered some Beowulf or some powder for my 50 Beowulf to get some reloading done.
Nice.
Yes, finally.
It's going to be fun.
Yep. And the shout out last week, which did get included in the show, was people will probably remember it was for the place that I ordered it from. And I had thought I was going to get H110.
Right.
But they called and said, oh, we do have little gunpowder in stock.
Oh.
And so I'm getting an 8-pound keg of it.
Nice.
As opposed to the 2 pounds I was going to be allowed to order.
eight is good for what? Is it 6 rounds of Beowulf or 7?
Well, I think it's 1 pound per shot, isn't it?
I think that's what it is, yeah. It's pretty pretty brutal.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, I guess I did a little dry fire practice this past week from concealment. And out of waistband, just my regular IPSC carry position.
Right.
But then with like a jacket over top or something like that.
So you just
kind of
sweep the jacket back and draw.
Sweep the jacket back and draw. And
this is because you're practicing up for IDPA, right?
Sure, we'll say that.
IDPA division in IPSC.
Yeah.
Shoot from concealment. That would be fun, actually. We should do like, because we can do our own, like if we do like a non-IPSC sanctioned event, we could stipulate, hey, everybody's got to fire from concealment tonight.
Yep. Yeah, everyone has to draw from concealment.
That'd
not
be kind
fire
of fun.
From concealment.
No, fire from concealment too. No looking at your sights, going to shoot through your pocket.
Draw your pistol, stick it in the shopping bag, and then shoot through.
Call it the stick up or something. The robbery. Okay.
Everybody's going to wear, you know, balaclavas and pantyhose over their head.
Pantyhose over the head. That'd be great. I can't see my sights. Nobody can see our sights.
Just shoot like a gangster. You don't need sights.
Shoot sideways. You'd be good.
And the only other thing is I'm considering pinning the safety on my GSG 1911.
As you should, because all grip safety should be pinned.
Yes. I'm thinking about doing it right now.
You should. Get your drill out.
I don't think I'm going to drill. I think I'm going to glue it.
Oh, that would work. Glue it, and are you going to glue it with a type of glue that could be like reversed if need be?
Can't decide. I have some hot glue here, like a glue gun, which is currently melting a pile of glue onto my desk.
Perfect.
And I have something called Rapid Fix adhesive.
That's basically like super duper glue, right?
Yeah, it's beyond super glue. It says.
Yeah,
It's the kind of stuff you just put your fingers anywhere close to it, and it glues your fingers together.
Yeah, you just pick up the bottle, and your hands are stuck to the bottle, even off the shelf at the store. It's like this glue permeates right through the plastic. You touch it, you bought it.
It's crazy stuff. I've been really impressed with it.
Well, you could do that and make it permanent, but I bet you could get good results with the hot glue, and then that would be reversible.
I think that's what I might do. I think I might just put a little bit right on the seam and then just push it in and then just hold it and let it. But it's going to look ugly because it's going to be smeared all over the outside of it.
Well, you can take that right off. Like a very sharp razor or even just rubbing your finger over it, it will break off and you can get it pretty clean looking.
Yeah. I guess I just worry there won't be enough in there to hold it.
Yeah, I don't know. Trial and error is the best bet there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, trial and error with the non-permanent glue. Don't trial and error with the permanent glue. And make sure if you do use a permanent glue, let it dry before you grab a hold of it, because otherwise you're going to have a 1911 permanently welded to your hand, and nobody needs that.
No. I would be okay with a Glock being permanently welded to my hand.
That'd be all right.
But 1911, that's just a good way to get beat up on the playground.
Oh, that's funny. Yep.
So what about you, Matthew?
Anything
this week?
Yeah, I actually did. I did some. I didn't do a whole lot. I didn't really do anything with regards to this. I guess a little bit, but my Gen 3 Glock 17 is finally in the mail.
Yay. I got
a text message today from the sender who sent me a picture of the tracking number, which doesn't currently work on CanadaPost.ca because it's so fresh. So I don't know when it's going to get here, but apparently it's in the mail and it's on its way. I'm still waiting on word regarding the Gen 4 Glock. I've found a good deal on one, but I'm not sure if it's actually going to go through. If it does, fantastic. I'm going to get it, and I'll shoot the Gen 3 and the Gen 4, see which one I like better, and go with that. But no word, so don't know. Hmm. On Monday, we had a snow day. And as most of the listeners know, I work in a school, so snow days mean I get to stay home. So the government of New Brunswick paid me to reload ammunition on Monday. I did up about 100 rounds of precision 223 for the Axis.
Okay. So
that was fun. I just the whole you know, each step one at a time. It took me 2 hours maybe. In two
really?
Hours is a long time to do 100 rounds, you're thinking, but every single one, I weighed each case, sorted the cases by weight. I call it resized every single one, trimmed every single one. Some of them didn't need to be, but I trimmed them all anyway. I like everything to be standard. I bring everything back to a standard, to a known, right? A known variable.
Well, that's what you have to do with precision.
Yep.
Precision rounds. Like, I'm just like, yeah, let's just throw this in here and clunk, 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 clunk.
Yeah, for bulk ammo, you can do that, and that's fine.
Yep.
But I'm talking, I mean, this is the ammo that I was able to just about get a quarter MOA out of at 100 yards with my Axis. So this is some pretty accurate stuff. I need to
really do some precision rounds for my AR and see what it's capable of.
That would be cool.
Because I'm getting decent groupings out of it with what I call my precision loads, which really are just, you know, I've used a different powder and I've kind of figured out a load that works very well, but I haven't weighed cases. I haven't weighed my powder loads.
Right.
You know, I haven't, you know, I trimmed them and all that sort of stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah. I know
I'm not going to get the same thing you're going to get.
Sure. Of course. But it would still be nice to see what you can get out of it. That would be really cool. See, the one upside to using the bolt action is that once you fire it, your case is fire form to your chamber. So you just have to resize the neck. The rest of it you leave. With the AR, you're going to have to full resize each one.
Yep.
So you do lose a little bit of accuracy.
That.
What's that?
And with small base dies at that.
Yeah.
At least on my AR.
Yeah. But, anyway, so that was fun. That was Monday. Saturday, actually, the day after we recorded the show, or 2 days after we recorded the show last week, I took my papoose, my Marlin papoose out, and got a bunch of footage of me shooting that, and I did a video review. So those of you who are on Facebook know that already because I posted it there. So anybody interested in seeing all about a Marlin papoose, you can go check out my video review on youtube.com/MMATT. There's other cool videos on there too. That's not the only one. I mean, it's a 22 survival rifle. They're cool. I mean, I like it, but it's not replacing anything that I currently have. It's my truck gun. It resides in my truck. Anytime I go somewhere, the rifle's in the truck with me, and I've got it. It's just a just in case. You know, it's cleaned. I oiled it, cleaned it, put it in there. It's somewhere where I don't even see it normally. It's kind of under a seat, kind of hidden out of sight. It's there just as a just in case. But it's a neat little rifle for that purpose, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's neat. I watched the video today, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
I don't usually watch your videos, but I did watch that one.
Was it lame?
No, it was good, actually.
Oh. Oh, good. Cool. All right.
Surprisingly,
yeah. I mean, most of my videos are kind of like on the lame side. I'm not anywhere near a professional, but I do enjoy making them, and that's basically the only reason they get put up, because I like doing it. If I didn't like doing it, yeah, screw you guys. I'm going home. So that's basically
Now we know how Matt feels about the listeners.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, that's how I do the podcast, too. I don't do the podcast for the listeners. I mean, I love the listeners. The listeners are awesome. But it's kind of like the gravy. I do this because I like hanging out with Trevor and Owen. So anyway.
Oh, now you're trying to suck up to us.
I got to suck up to you guys. If I've already lost the listeners. If I don't suck up to you guys, I'll have nobody left. I'm kidding, of course. The listeners of Slamfire are awesome. I mean,
yes.
We've talked about this.
The best listeners in the world.
They are. I mean, we've talked about this before where we have a problem, we have an issue, and by the time the show gets released, like within hours, we get emails with a solution. Owen did with his powder. I did with the papoose. I've done... I had a listener send me a handgun once so I could try out IPSC. That was back on CRR, but I know we have the same, or a lot of the same listeners from there. That was Dallas.
Yeah.
By the way, that is one cool dude, Dallas. Just sent me a gun. Oh, you want to try IPSC? Here, borrow my gun. What? Pardon? Yeah, I'll send you my CZ. Really? Where are you? He's like, I'm in like Alberta or something. So he ships it across, he transfers it into my name. And ships it across the province. Or the country. He sends a belt and holster, everything. Everything I needed. He said, just send it back when you're done.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. So, yeah, we got good listeners. The only other thing I did is I went out to the range and I brought a chunk of cedar that I had laying around in the basement. And I shot it with a bunch of different 22s just to see what kind of penetration they gave me, just because I like doing stuff like that, and cedar is really easy to split, so you can see the bullet track really easy. It was kind of like shooting ballistic gel, except you couldn't see through it. You had to cut it open to see what was going on. And of course, it's nowhere near the same resistance, but it did give you sort of a baseline. I shot a 9mm into it first, kind of as a baseline, and it penetrated 8 inches. And then I shot a CB long, so that's a 29-grain projectile traveling at around 700 feet per second, went in 3 inches. It was a heck of a lot further than I expected it to go in.
Yeah.
Next up was a CCI Quiet. This is a 40 grain. Again, the same speed, about 700 feet per second. Same. I figured, it's 11 grains heavier. It should travel further. Not by my ruler. About 3 inches. CCI Stinger. 31 grain at 1,650 feet per second. So everybody knows what stingers are. They are fast. 3.25 inches. So another quarter inch on top of the quiets that are going. Like, whoop-de-doo. CCI Velociter, a little bit less, 3.25 inches instead of 3.5 compared to the stinger.
Huh.
The winner by a full quarter inch was the Aguila SSS, which is like super sniper, supersonic sniper, something. Subsonic sniper, that's what it stands for. It's a 60 grain projectile.
It's heavy.
So it's a 22 short case with an extra long 60 grain projectile traveling at 950 feet per second, and it went 3.5 inches in. So it was the farthest penetrating one.
Just because of the weight.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
So I do have to say that the Stingers and the Velociter, and actually I forgot to mention Winchester bulk ammo. I fired one of those into there too, and it was a hollow point.
Yeah.
Same thing, about 3 inches.
Yeah.
Or 3.25 inches, I guess. It was the same as a Stinger. But the Stinger, that, and the Velociter, they're all hollow points. And when I recovered those projectiles, they were completely flattened. Like they were smushed out. Oh, yes. Whereas the solid round nose were not deformed hardly at all. So that's where you're going to see the difference in penetration. They don't penetrate as far because they are spreading open. And you could really tell there was the wound track.
Yeah,
the bullet track was all tore up, and all the bits and pieces of projectile flecked, you know, all throughout it. It disintegrated, you know, somewhat as it went in. So that's absorbing a lot of the energy. And you could really tell with those ones when I shot the piece of wood, it actually moved back quite a ways, whereas the other ones, they didn't move at all. It just sat there. So,
interesting. Now, that was cross grain or with the grain?
That was with the grain. I shot it into the, because I wanted to split it open and see the tracks, right? I couldn't do that against the grain, so okay. I did it with the grain, and it was really neat. I might post some pictures of it because the wound, the bullet tracks are kind of neat to look at, and the projectiles are still, I split it in such a way the projectiles are stuck right into the wood with it so you can see them, so it's kind of neat, but I like doing kind of silly testing stuff like that, so.
That's interesting. Anyway.
Yeah, it was just kind of, I wonder how far a 22 will go. And to kind of put it into perspective, my 22 pellet gun that shoots, I don't know, it's like a 12-grain projectile, it won't even completely penetrate the end of the piece of wood. So, you know.
So now with the, you shot those out of what?
The Marlin 795.
Okay.
So 18.5-inch barrel or 18-inch barrel, I guess.
Interesting. So
we should be it should be developing pretty close to full velocity.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the hot glue did not work.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Good to know.
I successfully glued my fingernail to my finger.
Cool. With the hot glue or with the other glue?
With the other glue.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's fantastic.
It is now successfully glued.
Oh, with that stuff.
On or whatever. Yeah, it took hardly anything.
Cool.
So...
So yeah. Now you can try that out without the grip safety and see if that affects your your likability of the gun, I guess. Very neat.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that moves us along into upcoming events.
Sure. We can go on to upcoming events if you want. T-shirt orders. We don't have T-shirt.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. That's exactly what it is we won't have.
T-shirts. Are they ordered?
Yes. Well, sort of. I have initiated contact with a T-shirt maker.
Okay.
So he has the graphics and a rough order of what we're going to be looking for. He just needs to send me back the quote, and then I will give him the okay. And we should have T-shirts hopefully within like a month or so.
Awesome.
So, of course, that'll never happen. I'll get it, you know, it's going to be like 6 months. But, you know, hang in there. We will get you your T-shirts.
So, yeah, send an EMT to slamfireradio@gmail.com and PayPal for U.S. listeners, because you probably can't. I mean, I know you can't use EMT, but that is the preferred method. $25. Is that still the price as far as we know?
Yep, still the price.
And include your full name and address and what you ordered, so that, you know, large, medium, extra large,
extra large. We're hoping to have different
extra,
colors.
Extra large.
No, I think Trevor already ordered his.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry, Trevor. I didn't mean that. It's funny. He just posted on Facebook he lost 10 pounds since the last time he weighed, so that's good. No, that's good. I'm not making fun of him now. He's doing...
Oh, that's right. I mean, last time he weighed himself was last year, mind you. But
maybe, but I'm not going to say anything about that. No, he's on the right track.
He is.
And he hates me because I'm this skinny little stick that eats whatever the heck I want. Nothing ever happens. So yeah. I know it. But anyway, whatever.
That's not why he hates you. But
no, I am though. But
yeah, you were saying?
Oh, I was going to say that even if you haven't ordered a T-shirt, you still can. There's time. No problem.
Oh, yeah. Get your name in. Because you haven't actually finalized the exact number.
Exactly. And also, I was saying colors. Now, we're not 100% sure we can get colors. So if we can't, you're all getting black. But if we can, your choices are black, dark green, dark blue, or purple. The purple would generally be for the wives, we're thinking. But maybe some of you want to wear purple, and I'm okay with that. Whatever you need to do.
My daughters were very disappointed they couldn't get pink.
We probably could do pink. The problem is the way the graphics set up, you need a dark background for it to work nicely.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking dark purple, dark blue, dark green. Those are the colors that are going to work best.
Cool.
So anyway, yeah, get your order in. It's going to be a neat T-shirt. We've kind of revamped it a little bit. It's not quite what it was last time. We have a nice big graphic on the back with
no spoilers.
No, it's funny.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Well, don't set them up. Don't set yourself up.
Oh no. Yeah, exactly. It's horrible. It's cheesy. It's lame. You're not going to like it. Order a T-shirt. Right.
Exactly. The charity shoot with Mr. Steve Lee. Does he let people call him Mister? Does he have a title?
Yes, sir, I believe.
Sir?
No.
Sir? No.
Sir Lee. Stan. Sir Lee? No, it's not Stan. It's Steve.
Stanley?
Stanley, yeah.
The Restigouche Gun Club, June 28th. Trap, small bore silhouette, rifle shooting, Ipsic style mini match. Charity to be announced.
Yep, next week we are having Mario Dextres, or Mario Dextres, Mario, whatever. He's one of the hosts from Radio Velocité Quebec. We have had him assist us in picking out our charity, and he's going to come on next week, tell us all about it. So tune in next week to find out who we're raising money for this year.
So... I saw this. Oh, sorry, I have to describe this. I thought I saw this picture today. Somebody posted it on Facebook. Or I saw it on a website somewhere. And there's this girl sitting in a bumper car, and there's all these bumper cars lined up. And they're at this, you know, fair or something. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch. It must be a bunch of video game geeks or something. And they've got like Mario hats and Luigi hats and stuff sitting in like three or four around her. And the caption goes, "She's screwed."
Yep. So, that's because anyway, I said Mario, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course. Aiming for August 2nd or 3rd. As far as we know, it's going to be confirmed next week.
Yeah, I got a phone call from Trevor today. And he said that, yes, announced it will be confirmed by next week's show and that it's looking good. Tommy should be able to get those dates. So 2nd and 3rd of August.
Awesome. One-day defensive handgun with Mag 40 instructor Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes. And day two is an Ipsic Level 2 match featuring some of SummerSlam's best stages. The course is full, but if there may be some people drop out. I know of at least one person that may have to drop out. So there is a waiting list. Get yourself on the waiting list. And when people drop out, it's first come, first serve off the waiting list.
Yep. Our waiting list is not very long right now. In fact, I think we only have one person on it, maybe two. So there is hope for you if you do want to take this course and you think, oh, the waiting list too long, there's no sense. Get your name in. You never know.
That's right. You never know. And but you're more than welcome to come to the multi-gun. The Ipsic style match or whatever it is. No, it is an actual Ipsic match, isn't it?
Yep. It's an actual level two Ipsic match on day two.
You have a black badge.
Yep.
And you want to come to that. Lots of room there.
August 3rd. And it should be, if it's normal, rounds downrange at 9. So make sure you're there by 8 for registration.
Mm-hmm. And the multi-gun, which is August 16th and 17th, 12 stages of three-gun goodness.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. You guys should really come out for that if you haven't come out to that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's neat. You can, videos, and Matt, YouTube, check it out. Yeah, it's fun. Are those ones lame?
Well, I'm in those ones.
Oh, so they're awesome then.
Yes, pretty much.
Perfect. That's the way that goes right there, folks. Phones in them. They cool.
Actually, if I remember correctly, there's only one video of me in that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, one clip. Well, where I'm shooting.
Yeah, well, that's too bad.
I don't care.
You could hire me, and I could follow you around all match and just take video of you and make you your own personal video. But I'm expensive.
Okay. That's not what your wife said, but...
Oh, it's funny.
So, with the housekeeping out of the way, because I know everybody, they hear that every week, and they're so excited to hear us repeat it word for word.
Every week.
It's exactly the same.
Well, we try to make it a little bit fun, and...
We should not do it next week and just see if anybody notices.
Just see.
I bet you within hours, we'll get somebody call and go, "Is it too late to get my t-shirt order in?"
Oh, I was going to sign up for that defensive course, but you didn't mention it, so I thought maybe it was off. Yeah. Well, hey, if nothing else, we're repetitive.
That's right.
Not only that, we repeat ourselves a lot.
We repeat our repetitiveness.
Yeah, we certainly do.
Why don't you bring us this first news story?
Sure. It's not very wordy. It's basically just the title here, because we're just going to talk about it. This last week, a London, Ontario man was a victim of a home invasion and he's now been charged with possessing a shotgun without a license.
Ooh.
So, this is a sticky one, because he did break the law.
Yep.
Right, he did. He was in possession, and it turns out it was a Remington 870, and he had a couple hundred rounds of shotgun ammunition for it. He was charged with unlawful possession of a firearm and careless storage of the firearm and careless storage of ammunition. So he didn't even, didn't have it locked up, and he didn't have the ammo stored separately. So he did break a lot of laws.
Mm-hmm.
What's unfortunate is that he is an older man. I mean, he's not elderly, I guess, but he's not young. He's not a punk, is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
He just had this, basically a shotgun, you know, in his house and some ammo for it, because a gun without ammo is useless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't hurting anybody with it. It, you know, if he hadn't been a victim of a home invasion, that gun would never have come out, and the police never would have found it, and no harm ever would have come from him having that gun. He was not a criminal. Well, he is now, because he was caught with, you know, it's just, these kind of stories are just kind of like, this is why we need to change C-68. So it's no longer a crime just to own property. He just owned property. He owned a gun. What's the big deal?
Did he, now, was this shotgun used in regards to this home invasion?
Nope.
Or was it just in the process of the police investigating the home invasion, they discovered this?
What happened was he basically got out of his house, and the home invader actually barricaded himself in this guy's house, and took a while for the police to get him out. But while he ran to a neighbor's house and called 911 and advised the police that there was a shotgun in his house, you know, to be careful, because now the home invader's in the house with a gun. So he was doing the right thing. He told the police of a potential threat.
Mm-hmm.
If that gun was hidden underneath a bed or in the back of a closet, which I suspect it probably was, the police wouldn't have even known it was there. But he, looking out for the police, did the right thing. And what did they do? Is they go ahead and they slap him with charges.
Yeah,
like, they do have discretion. They don't have to charge people with stuff like that. They do have discretion, and it just, it really irritates me that, you know, they go ahead and do these sort of things.
But it is Ontario.
It is Ontario, and as I understand it, they are mandated. They have the Guns and Gang Task Force or something, and anytime a gun is in play, that is an automatic careless use of a firearm charge just dropped on everybody just to see what sticks.
Right.
So, you know, this guy wasn't getting out. Unfortunately, he was a victim, and then a victim again by our unjust gun laws here in Canada.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And is this next one part of the same thing, or is this a separate story?
Well, it is separate, but I kind of figured it was sort of related. Not really, but they both have Home Invader in it, so I kind of thought it was kind of interesting. This is just something I saw on Facebook today. And you guys may notice we don't have a single main topic this week. Well,
they don't know that yet.
They do now.
Ugh.
We well, we might. I guess something might come up, huh? We had to postpone our guest for this week because Trevor wasn't going to be here. And so it was left to Owen.
Because everything revolves around Trevor.
Apparently. So it was left to Owen and I to fill in an hour and a half of your time this week. So we're doing our best to bring you interesting little tidbits of news from all over the place, and we will see what sort of sticks and what's interesting and what's not. So,
and when numbers drop next week,
we'll know why.
And we're down from, you know, 3 to 2 listeners.
Filthy, log back on and listen to us. We love you, man. Clones are people too. This next one, I saw it on Facebook. It comes from the Crime Prevention Research Center, and the question was posed, how often are people shot and killed when they're mistaken for a home invader? Because we hear stories of this all the time in the news. You know, so-and-so came into their own house and was shot by somebody with, you know, they weren't a home invader. They belonged there, and they were shot and killed mistakenly. And it seems to be really prevalent. It seems like you hear about this a lot.
I've never heard about it. But
In the average year, 8 in the United States. Eight. 8 isn't a whole lot. Now, on this website. Considering,
especially if you consider how many times people go into their own houses.
That's right. Yeah, especially considering how many lives are saved by people yep. with a gun in their house defending actual home invaders.
Yep.
Or defending themselves from actual home. They don't actually defend the home invader. I realized my syntax was off there, but anyway, maybe nobody would have noticed if I hadn't corrected myself.
Bet you that's more than eight a day.
No, probably. That's entirely likely, given the nature of the United States' crime wave right now. By crime wave, I mean, it's not really that much of a crime wave, but they do have a lot of, and so do we. There are a lot of home invasions. You hear about home invasions all the time. But anyway, back to my original point.
Okay.
There were eight people killed, but there were, I don't remember the exact number, but there were literally dozens, if not scores, of articles on each one that were that permeated through the news. Because mm-hmm. when one happened, one news station would pick up on it, and then like vultures, the rest of them grabbed that same story and spread it across the entire country. So it seems like it's mm-hmm. happening all the time, but it really isn't. There were eight.
Yeah.
So two were wounded. So there were 10 victims total in this is for the year 2013. So I did some number crunching. It turns out that's pretty close to the actual average per year. So it's about 10 a year people are accidentally shot. So when you consider that there are 18 people killed by airbags every year, we're not doing so bad.
Yeah,
it sucks for those people who are accidentally shot, but I mean, that's not the gun's fault, and that's not the fault of guns being in the hands of civilians. That's simply the person not identifying the intruder before they pull the trigger. And that's what's the number one rule in gun safety. It's not the number one, but it's one of them.
Identify, always keep your finger on the trigger.
Yeah, finger on the trigger and shoot blindly into the dark. Right? No, yeah, identify your target before you pull the trigger. So, this is clearly, I mean, if these people had baseball bats and just clubbed the person, chances are they could have killed them too if they hadn't identified them first, right? So,
yes.
These sort of things happen. And if you do go through those news things, a lot of them, probably half of them, they were people in the wrong house. So they were actual, it wasn't a home invasion because they mistakenly went into the wrong house. So they thought they were home, but they weren't. And again, the vast majority of those people were drunk.
I was just going to say, how many of these people were drunk?
Yeah. So, when you consider that, they were already not, in their right senses and they're breaking into a house that they think is theirs and they're drunk, they're stumbling around, they're not coherent, they're not listening to verbal threats and whatnot. I mean, you're going to get shot if you're in the wrong house. I'm sorry. Go to your house. Don't go into somebody else's. if you can't figure out which house you live in when you're drunk, I don't know. Don't get drunk, or get drunk with strangers, or with friends, not with strangers. I don't know. Just trying to solve the problem here. But anyway, it was interesting. I'm a stats guy. I love stats, and it was interesting to see that even though it seems like there's a lot, there really isn't. It's actually quite a small number, and it's sad to say, but it's an acceptable number. People say, if only you save, if it only saves one life. Well, it's not about one life. It's about the majority. Guns, for the majority, save lives. They don't take them. So it's about the greater good. So anyway, that's that story, I guess.
Cool.
Yep.
This next one is Smith & Wesson announced late Wednesday evening that it will stop selling its handguns in California rather than manufacture them to comply with a new micro-stamping law. The other publicly traded firearms manufacturer in the U.S., Sturm Ruger, also said this month that it will stop new sales in California. The announcement came a week after the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the Trade Association for Firearms Manufacturers, filed suit against California for requiring that all new semi-automatic pistols that are not already on the state's approved gun roster have the micro-stamping technology. Micro-stamping is a patented process that, in theory, would have a unique code on the tip of a gun's firing pin that would engrave that information on the case when fired.
I love the words "in theory."
In theory.
Yeah, this is a process that, in theory, puts a unique code on the primer. The thing is, it really doesn't.
Even if it did, I mean, I know how many thousands of rounds I put through my handguns.
Yeah, I know people who've worn out their firing pins.
How long before that firing pin is not making that stamp anymore?
That's right. It's not going to last very long. And on top of that, you can defeat that technology with a file.
With a piece of sandpaper.
You don't even need to get a new firing pin.
You don't even need sandpaper.
You just rub it across a piece of concrete a couple of times, and it's gone.
Exactly.
And it'll still work.
Mm-hmm.
That is the dumbest. And the thing is, they've been pushing for this for as long as I've been into guns. As long as I can remember, they've been saying, micro-stamping on firing pins is a solution to stop gang shooting because we'll always know who fired the shots because we'll have the imprint of the gun's serial number on the bullet casing. Well, that works well in revolvers now, doesn't it? Oh, wait, revolvers don't eject their empty shells. Oh, how about this? It works well on stolen guns, too, right? Oh, no, that doesn't work either. So even when you don't look at the fact that you can defeat this technology with a simple swipe of a sandstone, it's still stupid.
Yep.
And on top of that, even when it does work, quote-unquote, properly, you can hardly read the serial number. Like, the priming compound, the metal that they make the primer, just isn't a good material, a good medium for taking an imprint. It's just
right. That doesn't. I mean, it would be very difficult to take into all the variables such as how hard a primer is. You know, different primers for reloading.
Yep.
Yep.
No, it's dumb, and I weep for California. I really do. Yeah. It's horrible. It really is.
Good on Smith & Wesson to stop selling guns there. I mean, right. Hopefully they do it with law enforcement and everything else.
Now, that would be ideal, right? You need to not sell to anybody in California.
That's right.
Here's the problem, though. Californians, the people who introduced this law, they're going, finally, good. That's what we wanted. They don't want them there anymore.
That is true.
They think that this is going to solve their gun problem by not having guns in the state. Yeah, because there's no guns there now. Yeah, it's pretty dumb. So, yeah, the other failed technologies for guns. I mean, there's the smart right. guns where you have to have the special ring on your finger that you know.
Isn't there like a biometric one that had to have like a certain imprint fingerprint or something?
Yeah, there's biometric ones, and they're all easily defeatable. Number one and number two, it doesn't help anything. By introducing these expensive technologies into guns, well, what about all of the millions and millions of guns that are already out there that don't have the technology?
Yep.
What's to stop people from just buying a used gun and committing a crime? You don't have to have this year's model in order to commit a crime. It's not like
really?
Not like the store clerk's going to laugh at you because you got last year's Kimber instead of this year's. Oh, look at you. You can't even afford a 2014 or a 2011. Joke for Trevor. No, see, they don't care. They're staring down the barrel and they're peeing themselves. So just, it's just dumb. Really dumb.
Yep.
Anyway, that's our news. And now time for our main topic. Owen, what's our main topic this week?
That's a good question. I did want to mention, did you get a chance to watch that show that I
No, I didn't, but let's talk about it because that's a cool show.
I ran across this and maybe other people have seen it. I ran across it on YouTube. As far as I know, it's the only place that you can see it. I haven't looked anywhere else, mind you.
as far as I know, it's the only place you can get gas is at Irving. I've never been to Petro-Canada, but I'm pretty sure Irving's the only place you can get it. No, I'm just teasing you, man. Tell the listeners what it's called.
Well, here, let's... Because when I type it in, the only thing that comes up is YouTube.
Okay.
So there may be other... I don't
maybe,
think it's a TV but show, but
why
anyway.
Why don't you tell the listeners and maybe they can look for themselves?
Okay. It's called First Person Defender. and I came across it on YouTube. They're like 15, 20 minutes. Most of them right around 15 minutes. And they basically do force-on-force training with scenario-based training with some munitions, mostly for concealed carry holders. So they'll take some different people. They have the people got firearms trainers, and they'll take just your regular Joe Blow off the street who, you know, maybe has a concealed carry permit but has never had any more training than whatever, you know, the state mandated training was. And they put them in a situation, and they don't know the situation. The person who's there doesn't have a clue what they're going to face. All they know is, you know, they've been told, okay, you're going to come out of this building and you're going to walk to your car. And they don't know what they're going to get into, and they have to deal with the situation as it unfolds.
So do they do this initially as the first step in their course? They don't get any sort of training. They just go, okay, you ready for the course? Yep. Here's a pair of paintball goggles and a gun with some ammunition in it. Let's see what you know.
Yep. Exactly.
I like it already.
Oh yeah, it's pretty neat to see. I mean, even the trained people, you know, they make mistakes, and then they take one thing from what they did wrong, and they, you know, train them, and they work with them and teach them a few things, and then they'll rerun the scenario, but they'll change it up a little bit so that it's sort of the similar idea, but it's not exactly the same,
Right. So they don't know what they're going into again.
That's right. And then see if they were able to apply what they've learned. It's neat. I mean, they do some like actual hand to hand stuff. They have, you know, like a knife attack, carjacking, home invasion, abduction, store robbery, like workplace shooting. There's 15 of them, I think, on there.
That's cool. That sounds like a neat series to watch.
Yeah, it is. I learned a fair bit, actually. They've got a couple different trainers that do the teaching. It was kind of neat. Anyway, I came across that this week, and so I thought I would share that.
Cool. Well, I watched a show sort of like that. It was on, I forget what it was called. But it was on Saturday mornings on Spike or something a few years ago. And they had a similar situation. They had some people who had never carried a gun before, but they was basically these people going through their concealed carry class. And they followed them, and they, you know, starting with basically zero skill and going right up to getting their concealed carry license. And their final scenario, or their final bit of training, was a scenario very similar to that, where they come out of a bank, go around the corner, and the same thing, they've got a pistol with some munitions in it, and they got their paintball mask on, and the other people do too, of course. And they come across a situation, and they have to deal with it, using the training that they had for the last week. Well, the situation is a couple arguing in front of the vehicle that you're supposed to get into.
Right.
And the couple have been told, unbeknownst to the person with the gun, is that they're to escalate the situation no matter what happens. Just continue to escalate it.
Yep.
Don't back down. And so, of course, these people come out, and the first one, he comes out, he sees them arguing, and he basically just pulls his gun out and shoots the one guy. They're like, no, that's not quite what you're supposed to do. But basically every single one of them would come out, and every one of them except for one confronted the couple and, basically tried to get them to break it up so they can get to their vehicle and leave. Well, of course, that didn't work because they were told to escalate. And so one of them, for instance, had his gun, finally felt threatened enough that he drew his pistol and pointed it at the male and basically held him at gunpoint. And then the female kind of left the scene, went around the vehicle, and attacked the guy with a gun from behind because he didn't have situational awareness, didn't know that she was coming up behind him. So that sort of thing. They basically said, look, there's only one right course of action. If you see two people fighting in front of your car, don't confront them. Just go back into the bank and call the cops. And that's what the final person did without being told. She came around the corner, saw them fighting, went back inside and said, okay, at this point, I would have called 911 and reported a domestic disturbance in the parking lot of, you know, ABC Bank, and please come clear it up so I can go home. And they said, well, that's basically all the correct course of action. You don't even need your gun 99.9% of the time.
Yep.
You just because you have a gun doesn't mean you pull it out and shoot somebody whenever there's a problem. You just...
Exactly.
That's your last line of defense. That's the final thing you do when you're about to die is when you pull your gun out and defend yourself. It's not a problem solver. It's not a solution to an argument. It's just that's the last line of defense. Everything else that comes before that is so much more important than you carrying the gun.
Yep. I found a little more information out about this first person defender.
Okay.
It's produced by Gun Talk.
Okay.
With Tom Gresham.
Mm-hmm.
So they have... I mean, they have Gun Talk Radio, Gun Talk Television, Guns and Gear TV, and Gun Talk TV. So it's produced by Gun Talk TV, and Tom Gresham is leading leads that. So
very cool. That sound that gives it even a bit more credibility.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Very nice. Yeah, I'll definitely be checking that out.
All right, tonight, what's next?
What's that? Tonight?
Tonight, yo.
I'll do my best. Well, we've got like 25 minutes left, man. What do you want to talk about now?
Oh, man. There's no time.
We were talking about shotguns earlier. And did we actually talk about this on this show, or was it the other show we talked about this on?
Sure.
Remember we were saying, we were talking about the main three guns, or four guns, or was it five? How many was it?
Four-gun battery.
Was it the four-gun battery? That's right. And I think that was a Warriors Ethos podcast, not a CR.
That was.
Or SFR. So yeah, four-gun battery. And I guess we can talk about the other three, but tonight earlier, before the show, Owen and I were talking about shotguns. I don't remember what brought it up. But basically I said,
we were
talking about the KSG.
That, and then I was looking at the 8... must-have guns for doomsday prepper on some website.
That's right. And one of them was a 50 cal, a Macmillan TAC 50. It's like, yes, that's the exact gun you need to bug out with because, you know, it's lightweight. You can stick it in your pocket. And this is just the round I'm talking about. The actual firearm itself is a tank, and you need an aircraft carrier to lug it around.
Yeah.
But... yeah, no, it was a tongue-in-cheek article, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, at least some of it.
Yeah, well, they were talking about you got to have a double-barrel shotgun, Holland and Holland, of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no other shotgun will quite do during the zombie apocalypse. Yeah. You got to have
whoever wrote the article, I think, you know, reads too much or watches too much Walking Dead.
Completely possible. Yep. One of their recommendations was a Carr PM9.
Yeah.
Which... actually isn't a bad recommendation because that's the gun that you would stick in your pocket and always have with you, right?
Yes.
So I think that is actually not a bad idea. What were some of the other ones? There was a 12-gauge shotgun, and then that's what spawned this other conversation we had. But, the AK-47 and the AR-15.
Yep.
Yep, a 308.
Yeah, they had a Springfield M1A.
Yep.
Yeah, so. Yeah, there was some decent stuff in there.
Yeah, but the one that got us, of course, was the 50 cal. And then, of course, I went off on the shotgun. I'm like, the shotgun's actually one of the least useful firearms in either a zombie apocalypse, which is, of course, completely fictional. Don't tell Trevor, but it really is. Or any sort of defensive... Like, I think the idea behind the shotgun is... The idea of a shotgun is so much bigger than the shotgun itself.
Okay.
It's a 12-gauge.
Hmm.
And if you're going to use it against people, if you're going to use it for a self-defense situation, you got to use buckshot or slugs.
Yep.
Well, buckshot and slugs, they kick. So if you practice a lot and you're not good at taming that recoil, well, first of all, you just will stop practicing because your shoulder's going to hurt. And second of all, you're going to develop a massive flinch. Thirdly, if you think you're just going to keep it in the corner and toss it to your buddy and say, here, use this to defend yourself, well, he might not even know how to open the pump if it's a pump action, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just think that it's limited range, very limited range. I mean, with buckshot, you're talking 50 yards and less, and 50 mm-hmm. yards is stretching it if you got a good choke.
Mm-hmm.
And with slugs, you know, 100 yards is mm-hmm. as far as you're going to shoot if you've got a good one. More likely, your ranges are going to be 50 yards for the slug and 25 yards for the buckshot.
Yes.
So, all of a sudden, you've got a very short-ranged gun that shoots a very heavy projectile that kicks a lot, and the ammo is almost as big as a 50 cal ammo. So, you can't even carry a whole lot of ammo around with you, and the gun only holds 6 or 7 rounds of ammunition.
Yes, unless you're running a KSG.
Unless you're running a KSG.
But, for a defensive position, I mean, let's face it, a load of buckshot or a slug puts someone down.
I mean, that is true.
Unlike a 9mm or a 5.56, those rounds, while they're good and they'll kill someone, they don't put them down.
Yeah, I've probably got to agree with you there. I think getting hit with an ounce of lead,
yes,
going supersonic speeds, mm-hmm. that's gonna make you consider very quickly that the ground is now your friend.
Yes, and so for a closer situation for home defense, and again, I'm big on AR and pistol for home defense, but a shotgun in the hands of those who are a little less experienced, you know, they still need training. You still have to know how to run your gun. You still know how to shoot it. But if you're a little less experienced, you know, that it can still be a very practical, viable option.
Because it can be.
One shot, who else is going to go through that door?
That's true. Yeah, no, exactly. Once the first shotgun blast comes out through it, then, because of course you're supposed to shoot warning shots through doors, right?
Right. Yes.
Yes. No, that's a good point. I mean, shotguns
they have an application, but they're not as well rounded as an AR, which could be used, you know, inside and at longer ranges.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that shotguns may be a little easier to train people on because they do have fewer levers and switches in an AR.
Yes.
You've got your safety and you've got your pump release.
Yep.
That's basically it. If you can find those two things, you can basically run a pump action shotgun. Mm-hmm. Semi-auto shotguns, they're a little bit more complicated. I mean, they're not complicated, but to people who know how to use them. But if you hand a semi-auto to somebody who's never handled a semi-auto before, even if they're a good pump-action shooter and they know their pump-action shotgun really well, they've never handled a semi-auto before. They may not even get the thing loaded. Yep. I remember this past year at the 3-Gun, Foley brought up his semi-auto. I think it was a Benelli or...
Yep.
Yeah, and anyway, he handed it to me, and I was... Okay, well, I think I pull on this, and what does this button do? And just about chopped my finger off, and the bolt came flying forward. And how do I load it? You got to press this button, and then that ghost loads something or other. And, like, it was complicated. Once you got the hang of it, once you were taught how to use it, then great, it worked fine. But if you're going to teach somebody to use a semi-auto shotgun, you might as well teach them how to use an AR.
Yep.
Because to be honest with you, I would think that the AR is going to be easier to teach somebody to use. It's a bit more intuitive to me, anyway.
And it's more intuitive, and at least in the States, you have a higher capacity magazine, which you know means there's less reloading, less worrying about switches because you can shoot it longer before you need to reload.
That's right. And now that is kind of an upside to a shotgun is that you probably won't lose the magazine.
Yeah,
because it's kind of attached to the gun. Most of them, I mean, there are mag-fed shotguns, but.
Yeah,
most of them that's right in the tube. So, I mean, they do have their place. They aren't completely useless, I guess. I guess I just see better options out there. I mean, I would even think an SKS would be better. Even for short-range home defense stuff. Because it's a 30 cal slug, so it's...
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than a 5.56. It's definitely more than a 9mm. I mean, it would be less than a 12-gauge slug, but... It's going to be less recoil, and it's going to be just as easy to shoot. I don't know.
And depending on the shotgun, it you know, it's not really any longer, depending on the shotgun.
If it's a home defense shotgun, it's definitely.
Yeah.
Now, if you're talking your goose gun, Wow. I don't think there's such thing as close range with a... You can't do close quarter combat with a goose gun. Everybody's got to stand at least 30 yards away or else your barrel
falls
into
them.
Well,
that's right. You have to wait for... You start through a door and you got to wait for 3 minutes, as the barrel goes through till the person walks through.
Yeah. It's great for letting people know when you're coming through a door.
Yeah.
Oh, look, here comes Owen. How do you know? Well, there's this barrel poking through the door. Oh,
yeah.
And there's the front of the gun.
Wait for it.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Owen. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I bet you we'll get lots of emails from people who say that the 12-gauge shotgun's the best thing out there. And, that's a common myth. And I'll give you that. It's common. I don't think you're right, though. Tell me why I'm wrong. I mean, that's okay. We don't have any listener feedback this week, so if you want to write in and give us some hate mail for next week, that'd be okay with me. We'll let Trevor read it. Why do I get all the hate mail? Well, you weren't here last week. You don't know what we said. Well, he will. He listens. He's probably yelling at his MP3 player right now, saying, "What do you mean shotguns are useless?" No, they're not useless. There's better options.
I'm getting the itch to buy another gun.
What are you looking for?
I'm not looking for anything, but...
Do you need a Ruger SR9?
Well, maybe.
I might have one for sale if I like this Glock that's in the mail. Oh, that rhymed.
Yeah, that did. You're a poet and you didn't know it.
The rest of the show, we're going to rhyme. And by the time you realize
we're not
going
to rap.
No, that's probably a good thing not to do. That'd be bad. So why do you got this itch to buy another gun?
Well, it's been a while. I built the AR, so that doesn't really count.
I think that's what may have started your itch here. I get could, like that. If be. I start playing with guns, it's like, ooh, I need another one.
I want another shotgun.
Oh, perfect. That sums up our discussion just perfectly. Yes. No, let's talk about how shotguns aren't great, and then I'm going to get another one.
I think I want to get a... Stevens 320.
Uh-huh.
One of the tactical ones.
Yep. Kind of like what Dave has, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly what Dave has.
And our listeners, everybody knows Dave, right? Everybody knows
Random Dave.
Yeah, Random Dave from New Brunswick, not Random Dave from Ontario.
Yep. Now, I shot it a little bit. It's a little bit tricky to get used to. It has a very short action. I think that's what's nice about them, but it's very I find it very hard to get used to because...
Well, you're used to your 3.5-inch chamber. Oh, no, wait, that's not a pump action, so that wouldn't
matter.
Yeah.
But even the KSG, it's way shorter than the KSG's action.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So that was a little bit weird because you'd pull it back and you'd think that something was wrong with it.
I think once you got used to it, you would know that it wasn't.
I think once you practiced with it enough. Yeah, it definitely kicks, so. But, that, whatever. I didn't shoot it real well, but my only beef with it is no adjustable chokes.
And that can be put in after.
I think so. It's quite a heavy barrel, so.
Yeah, you totally can. It's just, is it worth the expense, I guess, is the question.
I'm really discovering I hate cylinder.
Oh, yeah, no, it spreads way too fast.
It's really useless.
Yeah.
I mean, even slugs, you can pretty safely shoot out of a modified, I think.
Oh, you can shoot slugs out of a full, no problem.
Really? Yes. With an adjustable, even with those screw-in chokes?
Absolutely. I do it all the time.
Hmm.
Yep, it's not a problem. The slugs are made out of a fairly soft lead. They are designed to squeeze through this choke.
Okay.
Yep, it's not a problem. Look it up. It's a very commonly asked question online, and by a vast majority of the general consensus is yes, no problem.
Yep. So that would be something that I would probably consider doing just because, I don't know, I hate pulling the trigger on something and watching it fly away. I shot some clays with it at the New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I could hit it if I got on it super fast.
Right.
But if it got out there at all, it was done. I was done. I just got blaze away all I wanted. I just wasted ammo.
Yes. Yeah. No, you've got to hit them fast and close. I find that with bird hunting. I've got two 20 gauges, and both of them are cylinder bore. And that's, I like them that way for bird hunting early in the season. Because the birds are so close, the brush is so thick, you know, you see them very close. You don't, they don't get a chance to fly away before you get on top of them. And when they're that close, you need a wide pattern to hit them.
Yep.
But as soon as the leaves are off, those two guns are, unless you are sneak up really good and the birds don't see it coming, they're not useless by any stretch, but they're, you know, my 12 gauge with the modified choke is what goes along then, or even a 22, because you can see them quite a ways off and peg them that way. But yeah, the shot is so spread out. It's just, you know, you got to get them, got to get them closer.
Yep.
So, yeah. No, I mean, I've had several shotguns where I've gunsmithed them myself, cut the barrel down, and then had them re-choked. And it's, I want to say it's about $100 plus the cost of your choke. So you're looking at about $150 to $200 if you get it done by the gunsmith here in New Brunswick, because I think it's just the one.
Okay.
It's actually a couple, but the one that I recommend, his name's Gordon Brown, Blue Mountain Sports down in St. John area. Fantastic gunsmith. Oh, he knows what he's doing, and he does a really, really good job. And he'll take your shotgun and thread it for chokes and send it back to you. It's, you know, it's not that expensive, a couple $100, and you've got chokes in your shotgun now, and that's really important.
Yep. So anyway, I might keep an eye out for one of those. I don't know. We'll see.
That's cool. I don't really have a hankering for a new gun right now. I think now that I got the Glock on the way, there's nothing really catching my eye that, I don't know, that I'm looking at.
Yeah. I just want to shoot. I'm quick. I don't know. I was kind of in the fall. I was like, whatever. It wasn't really a big deal. But now that winter is sort of starting to look like it's half over, maybe, almost.
Yeah, you know, it's starting to get there, huh?
Yeah, you just get that feel. You walk out in the middle of the afternoon and it's not bitter cold. You know, you kind of go, well, I would like to go to the range at some point here and do some more training.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, but why with a shotgun?
Not necessarily with a shotgun, just in general.
Yeah, I know. No, the thing is, you've got your KSG, and that's kind of your three-gun tactical kind of shotgun, but you don't, and then you have your goose gun, but you don't have just your standard.
That's right.
You know, pump action shotgun, do you?
Nope.
I think you used to have one, didn't you?
I did, and I traded it. So.
Right. Yeah, no, else. I think that's a good gun to, a good 12 gauge pump action shotgun should be in everybody's closet. Everybody should have one.
Because I'm pretty sure that I can, that same gun, I forget, it's a slightly different model, but it comes with a field barrel. So I could buy it, you know, I could get a field barrel for it later, or vice versa. You could buy the field model and then buy a tactical barrel for it.
Well, your other option is, of course, the Mossberg 500. You can get the combo. Comes with a 26-inch barrel that's choked, that interchangeable chokes, and it comes with an 18.5-inch security barrel.
That's
which
true.
Isn't choked, but you can get them choked.
Right.
And the other option is...
How much do those usually run?
What's that?
How much do those usually run?
Oh, I think they're what? $300? $400?
For the combo?
Yeah, for the combo.
So you can pick up these Stevens for less than $300.
Yeah, like with both barrels?
260.
Yeah?
No, probably not with both barrels.
Right. Yeah. See, what you could also do what I did, and I love my 12-gauge. I know I just talked about how I don't like them, but I really do. it's a Mossberg 500, but I found a turkey barrel for it, basically. It's a 20-inch vent rib barrel that's threaded for choke tubes, factory. And I just sold two barrels that came with the gun and bought that, and I was out zero money. It turned out to be the exact same price as I got for the two barrels that I sold. So it's now a 20-inch with vent rib screw-in chokes, and it does everything. I use it for bird hunting. I use it for tactical stuff, you know, rabbit hunting. It's an all-around everything. It's a, I don't know, I like it.
The only other thing I could think of getting, picking up a bolt gun, because I don't have, or a, you know, something in a little higher caliber, because I don't have, like, 30-30 is the biggest caliber gun I have.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
A good bolt action rifle would suit you.
Yeah, wow. And I don't have the only bolt action rifle I have is a 22, my Savage Mark II.
Right.
So I'm a little bit lacking in those sorts of hunting type rifles, which is what fills most people's gun cabinets.
Yeah, those are the two that you don't have. That's kind of funny. Yep. What would you get, like 308, something like that?
I would like a 308 bolt and I would like a 223 bolt. I wouldn't mind having a Savage Axis like yours, but that would be the dilemma. Do I get it in 308 or get it in 223?
Well, the price of the Axis, you can get them both. They're not expensive rifles.
No, that's true. They are pretty cheap.
Yep.
So that may happen instead of a shotgun. I don't know. We'll see. Someday.
Yeah, that would be cool. Then we could go out. I mean, here's the upside to getting it in 223 instead of 308 is we could go out to Crownland, long That's range, right. like gravel pit type thing, situations where you can yep. shoot quite a ways and That's get right. into some really longer range shooting.
Yeah.
I know most of the ranges around here are 200, maybe 300 meters at the most. I know Restigouche is going to have a 500 meter range, but it's not done yet, and that's the 3-hour drive for us. So,
yep.
I don't know about any place that's closer.
Yeah, we have 200 at our range, but that's it.
Yeah. For our listeners who don't realize, in New Brunswick here, if we're not in a large game hunting season, we can't carry in the woods any firearm larger than 223 caliber. So. Yep. 223, 22, 250, those are basically the biggest guns we can carry outside of big game season. So that's why it would be nice if you got a 223 instead of a 308, because 308 he could only take out to the range, basically, or only out in the woods while it's bear season or deer season or moose season.
Yep. Dum-da-dum-dum.
Certainly is. That could have been an entire topic in all in itself, all of New Brunswick's dumb hunting rules.
Yep.
Yep.
Because really, I mean, the reason they do it is for poaching purposes.
And that's about the dumbest reason ever, if you ask me.
It is.
Because
I mean, a well-placed 223 will take down anything in New Brunswick.
No problem.
Yeah.
22s take down anything in New Brunswick if you shoot it properly.
Yes.
It's not ethical. It's not the best thing to do. But if you're out poaching, well, why wouldn't you use a 22?
Yeah.
A semi-auto and just pop, 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 you know, 10 rounds into the side of a moose, it's going to put them down.
Yep.
You can put them down fast. It's a big target. You can shoot quick. I mean, those caliber restriction laws are not saving any of the animals that are poached here. Just the same amount of numbers are poached every year, I'm sure.
Hmm.
Oh, well. So, we've got... about 10 minutes left. Now what? Listener feedback. All right. Actually, we do have an iTunes review. And it's good because it's really long. So, do you want me to read it?
Sure.
It's by Acecheto. That's Acecheto, maybe? I don't know. I don't know how to say your username, but it's long and starts with an A. it reads the following. The dynamic between these three leads... Oh, sorry, I read it wrong. The dynamic between these three leads to great... Squirrel! Keep up the great work. Yeah, so it wasn't long.
And there's only two. And there's only two of us tonight.
Is the dynamic still great, Acecheto? Acecheto? I don't know how to say his name. Oh, I just got a text from Trevor. He says, say hi to the listeners, Squirrel. That's funny. That's exactly what he wrote in his text. Say hi to the listeners, Squirrel. So that's...
Did you tell the listeners don't miss him?
Should write back. Oh, we got Steve Lee and Hickok 45 and a bunch of other kind of low-key people who...
Fate of Destiny.
Yeah, I know. Just, you know. That's funny. Yeah, no, I guess leave us an iTunes review if you want. Write us an email. I mean, if you wrote us an email, we would have something to read.
It's their fault.
It is. It's basically your fault. Now, we're going to ramble for 10 minutes now, and you have only yourself to blame for it because you didn't write us an email this week. Actually, we did get an email from a listener, but it was a recording question because he wants to start recording a podcast. It was actually really high praise. He wrote us in and he
said... Competition.
What?
Competition.
Yeah, it's going to be competition. No, he said it's not going to be gun related. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So no big deal. You can do it. If it was gun related, I wouldn't have replied, or I would have replied with erroneous information. But it was actually really high praise. He wrote in and he said, of all the podcasts that I listen to, yours has the highest audio quality. And so I'd like to know how you record it so that I can do the same. And little does he know, we're a 2-bit gong show that managed to stumble across the right software.
The first thing he needs to do is go get some hearing aids.
That's step one. And then once you realize how bad we are, go listen to somebody else. No. So,
I just saw a picture of a High Point 9mm carbine.
Those things are ugly.
You're right.
Yeah, no, they are very ugly. They're
Where's the magazine,
like,
though?
In the grip.
Oh, it goes in the grip.
Yeah.
Huh. That is ugly.
So, Trevor, what he's done with guns, I got another text from him, an update. He just bought back his 686 for $200 less than what he sold it for. with all the ammo and brass that he sold it with. So Trevor's got his 686 back.
I didn't realize he sold it.
I didn't realize he was in the market for buying guns. I thought he was, but
yeah,
anyway.
But you know how he is.
That's cool. I mean, that was a nice revolver.
It was.
I'm not a revolver guy. Sorry, Doc. I know. My bad. But no, it is a nice gun. The only revolver I do like, actually, is one that Doc does like, too. So I do, you know, that is good. It's the Ruger SP-101 357 Magnum. Oh.
Right.
I could get behind that. That would be great. That if I was going to own a revolver, that would be it.
Yeah. I really like the look of the snub nose type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a rig with revolvers. Well, with any handguns, I don't like the long barrels.
Same here. I like short barrels. I like short barrels and everything.
That is true. You do.
Which is why I'm going to love your NEA.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it's because they're...
I'm the same way. So what is the attraction? What is this universal attraction about short barrel firearms?
I'm going to have... So for me, it's twofold. One is I simply like the aesthetics. I think a long-barreled gun looks unbalanced. I don't care if it actually is unbalanced. It looks unbalanced and unwieldy.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, right away, that's a turnoff. I don't like it. Number two, I hunt a lot in dense brush, thick woods, and I like doing close-quarter combat in the house, clearing rooms kind of stuff. So I like short guns for that because it makes more sense. That's my reasoning behind it anyway. What about you? Why do you like the short guns?
I don't know. I mean, it's just for some reason that there's this attraction to them, and I think this is very common among shooters. Maybe it's a Canadian thing. I don't know.
It would have to be because down in the States, they got to pay $200 for a short gun.
Well, that's true. Well, but there's just something about it that where they just people seem to see a short AR or a small little pistol and they go, oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why do people feel that way? It's strange. I don't know if it's the concealability of it that they are attracted to, or
I wonder if it's just a simple fact of knowing that you can get all those moving parts together in such a small package and still make them all work properly.
Yeah.
That's going a little bit deeper than I intended for this week's show, but there you have it. There it is. I'm not taking it back. Yeah, I don't know. I've always liked small guns. My little Beretta 70, just absolutely. Like, usually when I get a gun, I'm the kind of person, and for the last, I don't know, however long I've been shooting now, for 10 years or so, I've gone through, I think, 40 or 50 different firearms. I don't own them all. I would buy them, not like them, sell them, trade them, buy something else. And now that I finally figured out what I like, I stick with it. But for the longest time, I would buy a gun, and for the first week, just absolutely enthralled with it. Oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I love this. Week two is like, it's all right. Week three is like, I'm getting rid of that piece of junk.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I had this, new toy kind of.
Yep.
But this Beretta... When I come home, the first thing I do is I go to my gun safe and I get it out. And, I carry it around the house with me and, practice dry firing and clear the rooms and stuff. You know, it's the smallest, little, cutest little 22 pistol that I just, it's great.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
What the?
What?
Yeah. A Taurus Judge 28 gauge shotgun revolver.
Uh huh. That's a little bit smaller than their 20 gauge model.
Yeah.
Because maybe they didn't make the 20 gauge. I think there was.
I don't know. It's pretty big. I mean, yeah. I've seen their 410 45 long Colt.
Yes. But version. There was another company that made the 20 gauge, I think. And then now I guess they're coming back with the 28 gauge.
Okay.
Because the 20 gauge was massive. You imagine? It was like a 5-shot revolver with shot 20 gauge shotgun shells.
Yeah.
But 28 gauge makes a bit more sense. I'm pretty sure they had it at 410. Personally,
yeah,
but 28 gauge would be okay.
There's a 16 gauge triple barrel shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a triple barrel shotgun before.
Is it the triangle configuration or the three in a row?
Oh, this is the three in a row.
Ooh, interesting. You haven't seen the triangle configuration?
No, I've never seen it.
The triple threat. I forget who makes it, but look up triple threat, and okay. It's a 12 gauge break action. It's like a defensive tactical kind of short-barreled three. It's a triangle configuration. It's more of a novelty item than anything else, I suspect.
I would think so.
But still fun. It's kind of like that 1911. That was two 1911s basically welded together. Twice the firepower, twice the malfunctions.
Oh, here's a Trevor, or a Trevor.
A Trevor. Here's a Trevor.
Here's a gun for squirrel. Trevor.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a Hello Kitty Desert Eagle.
Ooh, his wife would like that. I saw a video of a young lady shooting a Desert Eagle this week on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And as per usual, you know, you hand somebody a gun that's way too big for them. And, of course, she didn't drop it. She managed to hold on to it. Okay. But
that's good.
She was laughing, though, so she wasn't, she knew that it was going to be a lot of a kick, and so she was a good sport about it, which was good, but those types of videos that where an unsuspecting new shooter is handed a 12 gauge and 3.5 inch magnum slug is loaded in there or whatever, and, you know, they shoot it and they drop it and they run away crying and everybody laughs, like, that's about the dumbest thing you can do to a person.
Yeah, that is.
If you want this sport to continue, you've got to treat the new shooters a lot better than that.
Yep.
Start them off with a 22 and work your way up from there. Well, Owen, I think we did it. We're just about done.
Really?
If we do our sign-off now, I think it'll be just about where I won't even have to put in any outtakes to fill up any extra air.
Whew, that's good.
It was right down to the wire, though.
Be sure to check out one or both of our National Firearms Associations, the CSSA and the NFA. And check us out on GOC, as well as liking us on Facebook. And be sure to check out all the other great shows on the networks that we are a part of, the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network and the Crusader Podcast Network, American and Canadian Pro Gun Podcasts, and a lot of outdoor stuff, a lot of fishing stuff on the Reno Viola Network. But it's all great. Check it out, and
very good.
That's it. I got nothing more to say. I didn't have much to say to start with, and now I have even less.
Awesome. Well, anyway, guys, thanks for listening. We're sorry it wasn't the epic
you're
show.
You're not sorry.
I'm not sorry at all. I'm just glad it's over. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Take someone shooting, and I'm pretty sure Owen is Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.